Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the doomed trickster. You're not going to remember me.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 4, Holidazed, Issue 2, Holiday Blues. On the cover, we see the team through a window of a festively decorated Dynamite Jacks. They sit around a booth celebrating a victory over a round of milkshakes. Puck, cold and wet, leans against the wall just outside of the frosted window. A tagline reads, "Finally, a happy ending with everything resolved. We're not forgetting anything, are we?"
We open with just a shot of Puck and the Burning Man falling. At first, it isn't clear how far they're going to fall or what they're above, because it's just zoomed in on their faces. And the Burning Man is freaking out. Puck, you are just feeling this heat going through you. If it weren't for your super strength, you would be in a lot of pain right now, and you might be in a lot of pain soon if you don't do something about it. You're also falling and approaching terminal velocity. And we get another panel that shows that you are above the water off the Protean City Harbor. There's a couple of boats that have kind of wreaths and lights on them. It's all very wintry and mystical, but there's not like layers of frozen ice yet. And you're close enough to the harbor, there wouldn't be anyway. So you are falling, and you've just come closer to the great old trickster than you have for quite a while. You've got a screaming, shirtless man that is on fire clinging onto you. What do you do?
I want to just, like, kick him.
Okay.
I want to, like, put my feet up against him and just, like, push off, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Kick him down and away and get him away from me.
Yeah, that's relatively easy. Well, it's not relatively easy. That is a difficult thing for someone to do. But in this moment, he's not really able to deal with things. Yeah. He's just seen things beyond his understanding of reality.
Yeah.
So you kick him off, and both of you are now falling towards the water.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm going to try to summon a whole bunch of the psychic constructs of the fairies.
Okay.
And just sort of like have them like interlock around my legs.
Okay.
And try to like maybe build up a shield of them around my whole body so that when I hit the water, I don't break everything.
Cool. All right. That sounds like unleashing your powers.
Sure. So that's 5 and 4.
Less freak.
And 3, 12.
So yeah. So the constructs all like form around you. They seem weird also.
Okay.
They're a little shaken up.
Okay.
And so like they're vibrating around you right now. They felt that resonance. And actually for a couple of seconds as you're falling, nothing happens when you start to summon them. But then you put a little bit more will towards it and they skitter out and form all around you. And yeah, when you hit the water, you're going to do so just fine.
Okay.
Are you doing anything for Burning Man?
Oh, no. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Okay. So we get two splashes.
I'm not supposed to kill people, but if he dies, that's on him.
We get two splashes, one of which is, and look, we get a horizontal shot of just kind of the flat water and two splashes, one of which has an enormous amount of smoke and steam coming out of it. And one of which has just scattered crystalline fairies popping up. And then we're going to jump back in to the convention center. We have sort of a cutaway view that shows both the hallway that has Alina standing over a tied up ghost person who is Reggie Mortis. And the three of you in the room facing off against Fuse, Rocketrice, and the Verminister of Fear. On the floor is still Hermosa Vida. there's smoke coming up from her, and she hasn't moved since Burning Man was giving her a burning hug. Lunar Lens just flies down and lands in front of you and just has her arms spread out before them and says, I'm going to give you one chance to just give up, turn yourselves in, and we won't have any problem.
While she's talking, I'm using my last burn to set up a moat silently.
Okay.
Which holds back a threat as long as I keep my focus on it. And okay. I'm just doing it in front of these people at the door.
Ain't nobody going to help Kalina. Like,
Kalina! Oh, I forgot
to mention.
Don't worry,
I have something cooking.
Sokotoa is covered in rats.
A whole bunch of rats.
It's fine. It's
so rats. As everyone's taking their time, Sokotoa yells, I'm 95% confident there's between 2 and 400 rats on me. That's a statistics.
Well, if I
joke.
Cut off if I cut off the rat guy's communication with his rats, maybe they'll fall off of him.
I mean, there's still rats. You could like
good point.
Yeah, like
I can also try just, you know, spraying them off with a sprinkler.
Or aren't rats bothered by certain frequencies of sound?
Yeah. Sound waves or sprinkler?
Sound waves.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So I'll try agitating those rats off of him.
Okay. Cool. Go ahead and unleash your powers.
Oh, an 11. Yay.
Yeah, those rats just, they fall off and start scattering. They run towards the moat and like, because they're trying to get to the Verminister of Fear. And so there's a panel of the three of you and Lunar Lens having to kind of like step and awkwardly avoid having tons of rats over you. Actually, I guess the two of you, but Sokotoa is where the exodus of rats is coming from. Yeah. And they're all now up against the moat.
Is there a moment where she just looks hungry?
Who?
Lunar Lens. Isn't she an owl hero?
Oh, she's an owl.
Oh my gosh.
That had occurred to me earlier, but I wasn't sure.
I'm not sure how owly she is.
She's a little owly.
The lights are off. So actually, yeah.
So she would be able to see everything. Though.
All of these scenes are happening in like a blue, like all or blues red, to yeah, show that light. It's... no emergency lights. Okay. Those got bursted also. But so it's all blue panels to show that it's in darkness, except for bright yellow for Lunar Lens's eyes. And so the three miscreants standing over by the door, including the Verminister of Fear, who's kind of like looking to his little ratlings and kind of like putting his hand up against the moat, obviously wanting to be with them, are kind of in an awkward situation that they can't go anywhere. So Rockatrice steps forward and goes, we'll surrender if you let us go. Like, literally, this door, it's, you know, we can leave. And Fuse just sort of puts their hood back on and tightens it back up and goes, We're not going to cause any more trouble, ma'am.
I want Lunar Lens to decide.
Okay. You can defer to the hero.
Yeah, I'll mm-hmm. just wait for her.
Sokotoa's still just kind of like coming back. He would just see a panel of him like in the middle of the floor there. And he just says like, he just goes, I feel so unclean.
There's definitely a bunch of like little rat bites in your clothes. Oh. Right. Like lots of little places that we can see that because were you still in your winter clothes or?
Oh, no, I was in the con. I had the,
oh no,
the
his costume is covered in all sorts of little bites.
Bit up, yeah.
Oh no.
Sew it.
So Lunar Lens turns partially to the two Pequoy kids and asks, "Did the rest of them get out?"
Yes.
Thank you, Sage. And Hermosa, how's she doing?
I think she's hurting pretty bad.
Go check on her, because that's going to decide what I do with these three.
Okay. And like I scramble up to my feet and just run over to her.
Okay. She has just like burn marks on her that are just the shape of the Burning Man. She's breathing, but it's pretty shallowly. And she stinks of burned plant matter. She has like human skin, and everything like that. But when she burned, it smelled like plants.
She needs to get to the hospital. She needs medical attention.
Lunar Lens nods and says, we're going to bring down this front barrier, and the three of you are going to kneel on the ground, and we're going to bring you in. If you do anything else, we're going to have a lot of problems. Am I clear? And the three of them kind of nod and go, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And they kneel down onto the ground. And she says, Sage, take it down, and you and your friends go bind their hands with something. They're, grab napkins or something.
And you see sort of the green light that was blocking them sort of fizzle out to the ground, and everybody can tell that it's down. And I'm going to try to get cold compresses or something for Hermosa.
Okay. Are you two doing anything very specific, or
no.
Can I hop at panel?
We're I'm probably going over and tying their hands up behind their back.
So was the extent of the medical intervention cold compresses?
I think they're going to get... No. Like, the plan is to get her to a hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, because...
I'm buying time.
Okay, because my mother is a doctor at said hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so...
Call your mom.
Well, that's the thing. I would prefer if somebody else makes the call, because I need to really explain why I know about this, like why I'm there. So if I do call, or if somebody calls the hospital, I should probably leave.
Okay.
Just also, because like part of my body is at least a little visible.
Well, you can also call 911.
That's true.
And then get out.
Yeah.
Or frequency, you can call your mom.
I can also call 911. If you want to tie them up, I'll call then.
Yeah, I would much prefer that.
Okay, fine. So we get Frequency making the call to the hospital, Sokotoa tying up the three miscreants, and Penance trying to just lower the temperature of Hermosa Vida. Now we're going to hop over to the hallway. Arcana, you've got a ghost girl.
Yeah, I do.
And she's all tied up with these bonds. And for we've got like three panels of her doing various horror trope things. Like she's like crawls on her toes up the wall and then falls down, and she like vomits a bunch of pea soup that disappears. And then she just kind of like lays there and like just leans her head back. This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I'm going to go see if anybody, in the hall has a proton pack. See if we can get you contained. So I'm frog marching her into the banquet hall.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So then I think the next scene is the four of you and Lunar Lens leading these four out. There are three of them are tied with like kerchiefs and junk from inside, and one of them is just mysteriously held very firmly upright. And there's like, you know, there's some police and they're ready to just pop them into the cars. So where would the four of you go if you just had a stunning heroic victory?
You know the answer.
And it's like, you know, maybe it's time for your holiday party.
We're going to the diner.
Jax.
Cool. So our four heroes are inside Dynamite Jax, and... are you in civilian clothes or in hero clothes at this point?
Civilian clothes.
I would have changed, yeah.
The mask is back in the pocket.
So you're in your civilian clothes.
Had to get out of the dress.
And so let's go ahead and do...
My bow tie is undone.
Nice. Let's do some nice happy feeling, because I think we could use that. How about some gift exchange? Here's what I'd like to do.
Have Alina and I talked yet?
I don't know. Is this the first time that you're sitting down to talk?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then let's do that first.
Yeah.
So maybe even before you sit down.
What if, as we're walking in, like.
Yeah, the two of you walk. Ben and Kalina walk in. Yeah, Ben and Kalina walk in and like grab a table. And we have Sage and Alina just kind of standing outside. We've got snow coming down, and they're lit from a lamp above.
Hey.
Thank you for trying to beat that guy with a fire extinguisher.
Well, you're welcome. How are you? Are you okay? Are you hurt?
You kind of broke my heart a little.
Listen. What happened? We were in way over our heads. And I can't let you just drag me into utter catastrophe without any regard for our safety. I just won't do it. We needed to get out of there. And so that's what I did.
Before this gets any further, I think we had a drama move that we may have some insight on. Penance, what is your team move for when you reveal a weakness?
Tell them how they could stop you if it came down to it. Give them influence over you and clear a condition.
Okay, so just in this conversation, we got to make sure that happens.
I just wish you would have trusted me more, that I wasn't ignoring or discounting your safety, because I would never do that. If anything were to happen to you, I don't know what would happen to me. And I just wish you trusted that more and let me help. I feel like you took the decision completely away from me and all my good intentions were worth nothing.
Your intentions are good and they are worth something. But they can only get us so far. That particle accelerator was two sneezes away from exploding and killing us all. I saw an opportunity to get you and me and our classmates to safety, so I took it. Do you know what this is? I take out the newspaper. This is an article from that world, where I was a hero and I was powerful. This is an article about how I died fighting that thing. I know you think that I took the decision out of your hands, and maybe I did, but I don't regret it. Not for a minute, because it means you're here with me right now. That's all that matters.
I just wish you would have told me.
I'm actually going to pull it back. I think you were comforting or supporting.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll plus mundane.
3.
Plus mundane.
3.
Okay. At this point, theoretically, I make a move. Okay. You additionally can do what you want, needless to say. But Arcana, as you're saying all of that, first off, mark potential. Secondly, as you're saying it, a lot of it starts to ring a little untrue in your ears. Like, as you're saying it, you're feeling conflicted because you can see the pain that it is causing Sage. Mark guilty.
All right.
We used to be best friends. And all of a sudden, this other person comes in and you defer to them completely. And you made a choice with them, told me what the choice was, and forced me to go with you. And I understand that you had your motives and you had information that I didn't have, but only because you didn't share it with me. And normally you would have. I only survived because of you. And I'm grateful.
So yeah, so we get these panels that have that intense conversation between two of them. And then we go to the inside of Dynamite Jack's. Now, who is coming inside after that conversation? It can be both of you. It could be neither of you. Whatever it is.
Together. We do it together.
I don't know if I'm ready to go in there, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next panel shows Alina coming in. And Ben and Kalino are sitting at a table together. Probably ordered some hot chocolate or something like that. I'm going to go ahead and say there are four hot chocolates on the table.
So I asked Jack if he would do this for me. He's going to bring me out a glass of melted snow. I'm going to drink it.
It wouldn't be.
And that's where that scene cuts for now. We come back to Puck. The readers haven't forgotten you.
Just all of his friends.
And so how do you get, so we get the shot of just you underwater surrounded by these constructs, and they're even maintaining your air at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have like eyes open underwater, and you see the Burning Man, and he's just flailing and screaming, mouth wide open underwater. What do you do?
I just don't care. I don't know if I care enough. I probably shouldn't let him die.
If you did, this would be the first time you've ever killed somebody.
Yeah.
And there would be major consequences.
Do I know there is a secret Falcon base in the middle of this?
I don't think you do.
Damn it.
Because it's a secret.
It's a secret Falcon base.
Damn it. I guess I'll swim toward him.
Okay.
And try to grab him.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to swim towards him and grab him. And the water is icy cold.
Yeah.
He's colder.
Okay.
He's in a not good place.
Yeah.
His mutant powers are...
They don't like this water.
They're not liking this.
That was my point. That's why I brought him
That's
here.
Why you brought him here, yeah.
But I guess I'll try to swim him up to get him some air.
Yeah. So are you going out to like the beach or like a pier harbor?
I figure we're still pretty far out.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go straight up to get air.
Okay. Yeah.
So first, and then swim toward the beach.
You drag him up and he like makes a gasp of breath. And then you're able to pretty like, you know,
yeah,
you're Puck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can swim.
Yeah. And I have super strength.
Exactly. So you power swim back to the beach.
Yeah.
And when he's tossed out onto the sand, he's just kind of like huddled up shivering. What do you do?
I don't know. I guess the first thing I would do would be to check my phone, because we have a radio link.
Yeah.
And so if the rest of the team were still in trouble,
yeah,
like I would hear chatter over that.
Would your phone survive a dip in the water like that?
Maybe.
Because I know some phones do.
Probably. Because, okay, like, Puck has, like...
Oh, wait. You weren't ever in the water.
No, yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
But also, like, Puck has expensive things. Like, his parents are wealthy.
Yeah.
And so, like, he uses their money to buy himself presents.
He saw the commercial with pouring corn Fanta on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he pulls out his phone and just checks. And, like, there isn't a lot of, like, screaming or chatter on that radio network. So he's like, all right, I guess they figured it all out.
Yeah.
And they went off and did something.
So what's Puck doing with Burning Man, and what's he doing?
I guess he just like kind of kicked the guy a little bit, just as a like a, not like a, like a, I'm kicking you.
Like,
but
a,
I was like, I'm
you
getting
okay.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. A, like, and he just looked down at the guy and be like, you, all right, you okay, dude?
Not great. What was that? Where did we go? What was that?
It's the bay. It was water. You're familiar with water?
No, before that.
It was an orphanage ball.
You're a dick.
That was my hell.
I'm sorry.
Well, me too, because I think he saw you. So, run.
He starts to like kind of stand up a little bit, and you can see
maybe not right now, dude.
his eyes are wide, like he's freaking out. The only thing that has stopped him from full on panicking is just that the like his body is literally a little frozen.
Mm-hmm. Can I try to knock him out?
Yeah, you can knock him out.
Yeah, I just want to knock him out. I don't want him to run.
Yeah, so you give him a bop.
Yeah,
and he crumples. And is knocked out on the beach.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice bonfire on the beach at some point.
Yeah, well, I want to try to call someone.
Okay.
And I'm trying to decide if I want to try to call I don't know who I would contact in the government. I don't want to just call the police.
Yeah.
Because like this guy, like they're like, I know the police are prepared to deal with people.
Yeah.
But this guy has a lot of power.
Did we say that you got a communicator from Striped Eagle?
Sokotoa does. So I don't know if
it makes it, I feel like it makes it fine on a superhero-y level for you to be able to also do that.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'll try to call Striped Eagle. I'm not super thrilled with
I mean, also like the Falcon has a public number you could call.
I'm not calling Falcon, though.
There's like, a Protean City number that you can call.
I don't want to call Falcon.
Okay.
Because Puck is not super jazzed about what Falcon does.
Understandable.
But we did work well with... Like, he doesn't have Centurion's phone number.
No, he doesn't.
He does have Striped Eagle's phone number. And we did work together, and that was... And did go okay.
Okay.
And she reacted in the way that he hoped she would have reacted when she learned what I learned.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he'll try to call her.
So, yeah, she... starts the communication with what?
I've got a guy. It's he can light himself on fire. He's a danger to society.
Okay.
He's knocked out. He's on the beach. We're both pretty wet.
Is he a friend of yours?
No, definitely not.
So you're looking for a containment cell?
Yeah.
I've got one of those.
Okay.
Want me to swing down?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
And are you going to be there when she arrives?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah, so we get a panel of her like arriving on the beach and looking down at Burning Man, and he's started to get a little bit of his embers back, even though he's unconscious. And she goes, "Puck?" And it's kind of just like a big panel with a little voice box, and then that's it. She'll take him. Cool. Where are you going?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's come back to that then.
I want to go to the... Puck is going to go to Dynamite Jack's because he knows that's where his friends are.
Okay.
But he knows that they went off and like they didn't try to find where he was. And whether or not that's because they trust that he's okay or not, he's used to people forgetting him. So he's not really in a hurry to get there, but that's where he's going.
Cool. So we'll have you interrupt. So let's go back to inside Dynamite Jack's. The three of you, at this point, there is now a cold glass of melted snow on, on the table.
A glass of water?
Well, it's like water, but it's probably not as clean.
Kalino,
it was probably, he didn't tell you.
So it's kind of like in The Waterboy when he has the like glacier water. Like he thinks it has some kind of magical... aspect to it.
Yeah, I think Kalino's just taken a sip of it.
Let the record Kalino show that Mark is smiling like an idiot right now.
I'm very proud of my choices.
Kalino, he didn't say it was yellow snow, right?
No. I would have ordered lemonade if I wanted that.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Why would it be yellow? Snow's not yellow.
At this point, can I walk in?
Here's what I want to do first. Okay. Just a little bit of panel decoration. Okay. If you have ideas of like little presents you may have gotten each other, like not something that you have emotional significance that you want to play with, but like something that's like, hey, this is out and on the table, then we can have some like unwrapped paper and stuff like that.
I really want to give everyone my gift at the same time.
Together.
So I've already mentioned once that I was... that was sort of going to happen and didn't.
Yeah.
I want to bring that up again, but I want to notice that at least one person are missing.
Yeah.
So I want to use that
Sage.
No
Sage.
I want to get that in. If we're going to use that as a segue into moving on to us dealing with people missing, I want to do that last.
So does anybody have any presents they would have given at this point?
I have a tiny... I have an enamel pin of Neil deGrasse Tyson that I gave to Kalina.
Nice. Oh,
that's awesome. Thank you. So excited.
I have a whole bunch. I have just a ball of jumbled copper wire that has like a tiny little bow on it. And I gave that to Ben.
Nice.
Oh, thank you. This is actually perfect. You have no idea.
Do you have anything that you want to do with presents or no?
Yes, right now? I'm giving everyone on the team a no longer functioning orb, but it's decorated with like their superhero kind of persona name on it and stuff like that. He's fashioned them into ornaments.
Yes.
That's so cute.
So we've got one out for Frequency and one out for Elena.
Thank you.
Now we're going to hop over to just because like we had like that little scene of like, you know, just kind of happiness with a little bit of a damper on it. And Sage, where did you go after your argument?
I just went for a short walk. I just had to like clear my head a little. And
yeah,
I've decided that although I don't agree with how everything went down and the choices that Elena made, I still care about her too much to walk away from this. So I'm still really hurt, but I'm choosing to sacrifice my ego to clear my condition of guilty. But
okay, so you're gonna have to apologize.
No, I know, I know.
Okay.
I'm choosing to put aside my ego and go apologize.
Yeah, so I think we probably get a couple of panels that like show Sage on her walk and she's looking angry,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of coming to the realization of what she's gonna have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bell rings for Dynamite Jacks, and our next panel shows her there with the others.
So I walk in and my hands are in the front pockets of my hoodie and my hood's up. And I'm like looking at my feet and I'm like, Elena, can I talk to you?
Yeah, sure.
And I'm just going to like pull her over to a table away from the boys and just say, I know it didn't go how either of us planned. And I know that we both thought we were doing the right thing. But I'm sorry I got so upset. You mean a lot to me. And I don't know what I would do if anything happened to you. And happy holidays. And I give her a present. And oh boy. It's one of those cheesy best friend necklaces from the 90s that you bought at Claire's. And one says best and one says friends. And she got the best one because she's the best.
Aww. Hand you your box. I went to the natural store and the witch said that these were the best kind and that they could hold the strongest potions. And I thought that like they come with a carrier pouch so you can have them with you. And they're supposed to be really strong and really, you know, really durable so they won't break on accident.
They're potion bottles?
Yes.
Is that what they are?
Yes.
With like a holster?
Yes.
Awesome.
This is amazing.
And we get to just this panel of the two of them standing close to each other, having exchanged gifts. And then back to the whole team, minus Buck, sitting at the table, and like spirits look to be brighter. There's ripped up paper around. Are there any other... So also now at this point, Sage now has the ornament from Kalino.
Mm-hmm.
And Sage, did you have gifts that you wanted to give to the other two?
Yeah. Well, I gave those two there. I gave Ben and Elena. So, Kalino, I hope you like this. I made you a magic orb.
What does it do?
It kind of transfers your emotions to it. So if you throw it and you're mad, it's going to hit somebody hard. And if you throw it and you're afraid, it's going to keep them away from you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope it works.
And then we just get the panel that has the four of them, like, you know, having a nice time. Are you continuing to drink that melted snow?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's polishing that glass.
Yeah, so...
There is a carrot garnish that no one mentioned just on the top of the glass.
A what now?
A carrot.
Carrot garnish.
A carrot.
It used to garnish. Be a snowman.
Oh.
Well done.
We then get like a splash. We get first a panel that shows all of them inside having a good time. And then the bottom half of the double page shows basically the same scene, but zoomed out a little bit. So we can see Puck just arriving at Dynamite Jack's looking in through the window.
Yeah. He just looks, I mean, he stops a moment to see that they're like, they're looking happy. As what he expected. So he's not really like,
yeah,
upset. And I guess he'll just go in.
Okay.
And join them.
So the bell rings and John is coming on in and comes over and sits down with all of you.
Yeah, hey guys.
Hey.
There's four hot chocolates that have been mostly polished off and an empty glass that looks like it's got like some dirt at the bottom of it. A bunch of like, you know, wrapping paper and stuff like that.
Oh my God, I didn't realize you weren't here. I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Where did you go?
To the beach.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, I took the Burning Man to the water and I put his fire out. And then I called the Striped Eaglet to pick him up.
Oh, good, because that sounded way worse. I snuffed out his fire.
No. He's like, fine. He's fine. Whoa. I mean, he's a little worse for wear, but he'll be okay.
He called your girlfriend. Don't you feel some sort of way about that?
Ooh.
She's not my girlfriend.
It's not what I heard.
You guys know that she set up like our last battle, right? Like, oh, it was all, yeah,
fraud. Oh, she's a bad,
like,
guy now?
She's not a bad guy, but like, she definitely lied to me.
She didn't know. I didn't stick around to talk to her, but we'll see. She reacted badly, which was good. She wasn't thrilled.
She didn't apologize to me.
She had to go talk to some people, I think.
So there is a TV on in Dynamite Jack's. And there's a reporter, Roland Nelson, who is on the screen going, a report just came in that the Protean City Police Department has been attacked by, could that be right? Has been attacked by Wind Shear. At this time, we don't have additional details, but we will be giving you all the information we have as soon as we have it. So Wind Shear is a hero that you're all familiar with.
Yeah, a hero that we're all familiar with.
Yes. He, yeah,
what?
Has been working in the city for a very long time, since about the 50s, and he is a very powerful mutant with air control. He has a bit of a bad reputation, but busting into a police station is kind of high up on that list of things. He's known for being ruthless with criminals and has been kind of disavowed by a lot of the big superhero teams.
That doesn't sound like hero behavior.
How close is the police station to where we are?
It's close.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
It's always close.
I was going to say close enough. If you want to be at a place, we can make you be at a place, okay, because that makes things more interesting.
It's actually like right across the street. Oh, yeah? It's really close.
Ideal.
So would we have seen this happen?
Well, it was one dude going in. So it's not like an assault force that has arrived. But yeah, if it's like right there, then you can probably see flashing blue and red lights going on.
Oh, snap.
Man, I didn't get any hot chocolate.
Me either.
Oh.
Yes, that's the final panel inside of Dynamite Jack's.
There is a panel where Ben was reaching into his bag to grab something. And everyone runs out and he just takes his hand out and like zips his backpack back up.
Cool.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
Are you leaving your backpacks there?
Yeah, I mean, Jack doesn't care.
Jack will handle it for you guys.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a bag.
I probably don't have.
I have a bag I carry around.
Okay. So then we definitely get a shot of the five of you running forward. Who is leading this assault?
I think the five of us are lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a team.
Hero shot.
We're unified.
Yeah. Awesome hero shot of all of you running. Are you, I assume at this point we're getting into costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Pull that mask out. Yeah. Pocket.
Getting into costume.
the deep strain and hassle really of putting on Alina's costume.
Also, now that it's winter.
No fuss, no muss.
Now that it's wintertime, I don't have a hoodie. I have like one of those big like parkas. Winter jackets. Yeah, like a big parka. So it's
nice.
It's still a big hood, still fluffy. No.
Five heroes running up. There is a crowd of people. And currently, what's actually happening is the news van has put itself in front of the entrance to the police station so that people can't get by because the police are a little busy right now. There's occasional gunshots from inside, but they're really, like, really interspersed. Roland himself is standing outside going, like, everyone, if you could please calm down. As we get information, we'll get it to you, okay? We just stand back because there's no police out here to handle things.
Hey, Frequency, can you get information?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking of doing.
All right. Go ahead and assess the situation. Oh, wait. Actually, you know what?
That's what
You're
I was
using your powers
to
get it.
I'm using my powers to listen to the broadcast frequencies of the police.
But that's something that you can just do, right? Because you're not trying to just see what is happening. You're trying to get more information than that.
Yes.
Okay. Because you're trying to interpret as well as see the information, then you're assessing the situation.
Okay. Oh, boy. So I rolled a 6.
Okay. So you get into the police cameras and everything like that almost immediately. Because you are, first off, you mark potential.
I filled up my potential track. Woo-hoo. Damn. I'll take care of that later.
And inside the station, there are, you're able to see, like, they've got a couple of temporary holding cells while they, like, do paperwork and things like that. And inside 4 of them are the mutants that you fought earlier. Mm. And Windshear is standing in a hallway. There's a bunch of passed out cops all around, and he has a hand out, and all 4 of them are clawing at their throats because they are being strangled.
Oh, guys, Windshear is doing this.
Windshear is doing this. Recognizably Windshear. Like, he is in he wears a big trench coat that has a t-shirt underneath it with the old Windshear symbol. And he's got, like, his long silver hair, and he's just got his hand out and is clearly strangling all of them.
Yeah, Windshear's inside, and he's really going after those that group that we picked up earlier. Like, this is bad.
What do you mean, like, really going after? Like,
I'm pretty sure he's strangling them.
We have to stop him.
Well, yeah, let's go stop him.
Reggie Mortis goes down. And she shakes on the ground for a moment and seems about to die. And, like, her body starts to fade. And then he, like, lifts a finger and she stops choking for a moment, gasps for air, and then starts to choke again.
I tell you that. I just don't want to repeat it all over again because it's horrifying. Yeah. But
let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get in there.
Okay. Roland's going to let you through. Because he sees heroes, and he knows that he's in over his head.
Sokotoa, he's heard of you.
So we get
Sokotoa definitely, like, makes sure he's in the camera a little bit. And he's just like, hi. Like, he doesn't say anything, but he's just like, hey, people of Faradian City.
That we're standing there, and you're just, like, glancing out the side of your vision. Like, you're not looking at the camera, but you keep glancing at
right.
it.
Right.
It's yeah.
So we get a series of panels of you running in the police station, and so, like, there's a front room where people would be waiting to be, like, to talk to the police or to have different things for interviews, things like that. And there are several civilians and, like, 6 cops that are just passed out. They have clearly been knocked unconscious. There's, like, a quick panel of you checking a couple of them, and they're alive, but they're unconscious. And then we get just further shots of you running through the police station, following Frequency's knowledge of the space using his technological control. And there's just everywhere you go, like, there's bullet holes in the wall from where the cops fired at Windshear. And there's passed out cops. And yeah, so what
Puck, what are you,
and then we also in the gutter between the panels, we get Roland's voice saying, 5 young heroes have arrived on the scene, and we'll, I don't know what more to tell you. We'll see what happens tonight.
as we are sort of like walking towards where, like as we're, as Frequency is leading us in towards where people are, and we're passing by these groups of knocked out, or are they actually shot, or are they just...
No, they're unconscious. Okay. Unconscious. They shot at Windshear.
But beat up cops.
They're not beat up.
Okay, so they're just...
He just immediately took the air out of them, and they passed out.
And but they are cops, and they are passed out.
Yes.
And Puck is just getting like more and more frustrated and angry, as they're passing more groups, and as we get close to preferably be like, oh, this is the door we're gonna walk through, and he's on the other side.
Yeah.
I want to do the burn thing.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to activate your burn.
All right, because I can do that now.
And then you got to tell us what that looks like.
Hell yeah.
And we've never seen you do this before, right?
Seven.
This might be the first time he's done this.
Really quick.
What is it again?
Plus conditions marked.
So I rolled an 8.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you're going to get 3 hold, and you're going to mark a condition.
Yeah, and I'm going to mark afraid. Or not afraid, angry.
Okay. And what does that panel look like?
So when Sage like burns and like summons her power, we described it as looking like a powered up Guitar Hero thing.
Yeah.
When Puck does it, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
It looks like the best way that I keep coming back to describing it is if Sage is a trained, experienced practitioner of magic.
Yeah.
Puck is doing it like through brute force. Like he, like if so, like rather than being like blue flames or whatever, like energy, like surging energy.
Yeah.
It's more like reality is like rippling around him. And as he just like sort of like sucks light almost, or like, yeah, light out of the room a little bit, and pulls power into him. And he sort of like has like a dark halo around him.
Nice.
What the hell was that?
Did you know he could do that?
No. Did you know you could do that?
I'm trying some new stuff.
Are you okay?
I think I can do magic.
I'll have what he's having.
And then we get the door slamming open, I assume. And Windshear is just standing, just looking at them, and they're really struggling. The Verminister of Fear is trying to summon some sort of thing, and there's a couple of flies like buzzing around him, but just unable to do anything. Fuse is trying to get the hoodie back off of their face, but they're just like clawing at the air because he's got their hands held up. And Rockatrice appears to have lost consciousness at this point. He wasn't able to keep her awake through this.
I'm probably, like, Puck is angry, but he's probably looking to Penance, really, to lead, because she was the one who was like, let's go.
So, okay. I'm now going to charge my burn.
Okay, go ahead and roll that. 8. Plus conditions marked?
I don't have any right now.
Oh.
So, 8, now I have a condition.
Okay. What are you marking?
Angry, I think. Cool. I get angry easy.
So yeah, so we get another panel of, we've got just this darkness surrounding Puck and the four heroes ready there, and Penance just stepping forward and starting up with her flame.
And I'm going to directly confront Windshear and say, what are you doing?
And now we're going to, as a team, directly face a threat.
Okay,
cool.
I don't know if we're necessarily in combat.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is now a threat.
Facing a dangerous foe.
Yeah. You get 2, which is going to bring you up to 6. Do you have influence over everybody in the group, Penance?
I don't over Alina or Puck.
Okay. So no plus 1 from that. Do you have
in charge?
You are in charge.
Oh, okay.
Because Puck deferred to you. Kay. And I think that arguably Puck was the one leading up until that moment.
Okay.
We were all standing outside and talking about what happened, and then Frequency told us what was going on. And Penance was like, we got to go in and stop it. And everyone was like, yes.
That's true.
So that's what Puck saw.
You're right.
Like, okay.
He agreed, but she was the first one to take a step forward and say, we got to do this. So that's why he sees her as the leader.
Penance, what is your purpose in this fight?
To keep him from killing people.
Everybody have the same purpose?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody mistrust the team or the leader?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Are you ill prepared or off balance?
No.
Nope.
No.
So currently you're at 17. That's a good place to be.
Nice.
Windshear turns his head a little bit and goes, "This doesn't concern you."
You made it concern us.
Yeah, we didn't subdue these guys just to have you kill them.
They burned Hermosa. They crossed a line. They are going to pay now.
We took care of it. Other people got involved. Decisions were made. This was not, you did not need to get involved.
Look, kid. Here's how it's going to go. You're going to step outside and let the grown-up handle it. Penance, he is adjusting your labels. He is lowering your danger and raising your mundane.
You can go straight to that place Puck just came back from.
So are you rejecting his influence then?
I am hard.
Okay.
Do I get anything?
It's a flat roll.
I got 8.
Okay. So on a hit, you successfully hold to yourself and tune them out, and you're going to choose one from that list.
I'm going to shift one label up and one label down, my choice.
Okay.
And I'm going to shift up my danger.
Okay.
And lower my freak. You don't know what you're doing. You obviously have some sort of emotional issue here, and you need to step away.
And at that point, he raises his hand, and all five of you just feel bands of air hurl you backwards and slam against the wall. It's not enough to be a powerful blow. It's like it because he's not trying to hurt you. He's making it clear that he's in charge.
So he's pushing us all back?
Yeah, he's basically just
what
like...
What would I have to do boom. To not get pushed back?
You could unleash your powers to not get pushed back.
Then I want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want him to push me around.
Sounds good.
I don't like that. 7 and 8, 9, 10.
Okay, yeah. So your allies are just bursted back and slammed against the wall. And like there's a big sign on the wall that says, like, you know, no touching, no harassing language. And Puck just standing firm with the kind of the black smoke and lines of reality distortion bursting back behind him, but him standing strong.
I'd like to use overcharge to unleash my powers against this motherfucker.
Okay.
So that gives me 10 automatically to unleash powers.
Okay, so what are you doing?
I just want to push back against him with my magic energy and knock him off balance.
Okay, yeah. So you don't have to roll for anything for that.
No, it's just 2 of my burn.
Cool. So yeah, so you, so he is still facing the miscreants in the cell, and he is just he's just like thrown forward. What does that look like on the panel?
That looks like, you know, my star power was all built up, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like full body shoving it at him.
Okay.
And he kind of gets hit with this wave of like yellow force.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, actually, I think that he gets like pushed and hurled back against the opposite wall.
Yes.
And so he is now pinned up against the wall as well.
Yes.
And currently the only person not pinned up against a wall is Puck standing awkwardly in the middle.
Makes sense.
The miscreants let out just like sudden gasps because for a moment his attention has been pulled away. The Verminister of Fear immediately is like over towards the edge of Rockatrice's cell, and he's like trying to reach her and trying to get to her and just shouting out, Casey, come on. Casey, you gotta breathe. What do you do?
Do we know if she's okay, or is she... We don't know.
You don't know.
When Windshear uses his ability, does he have to be able to extend his hands, fingers, anything like that? Or is that just for show? Is that assessing
the
situation?
I don't know. Yeah, you might need to... Actually, you know what?
I've been reading
Alina
files.
Has been reading the files.
All right, so... All
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
12. Nice. Okay, so yes.
That's my girl. She's my best friend.
Okay, so you'll tell us something about Windshear, and then you get to additionally ask me a follow-up question that I have to answer honestly.
Kalino, bolos, do you have any?
Excuse me?
You know the weapon? The one?
I don't, but I can probably make a makeshift one.
I've got copper wire.
Oh.
Perfect.
All right, perfect. Guys, I think we need to just bind him. If we have, I think if his hands are bound together, I don't think he can summon enough ions to actually put any force into his wind power.
There is an additional thing. There's a thing that is different from what you've known in the files. He's wearing a wedding ring. And as far as you knew, he was not married.
Oh, snap, oh, no. Guys. Okay. We know he's angry. We know he's probably upset and scared. How do we get at that soft, gooey center to make him break down and realize what he's doing is wrong? What would give Windshear his come to Jesus moment?
Often what he needs is time to process, because he gets angry and he lashes out and he reacts. And right, and like, he needs to be stopped, because as long as he has momentum and inertia, he will continue along the path. And he has done bad stuff because of that. But when he is able to just process quietly without objects to throw his rage at, mm-hmm. he eventually burns down. So, like, okay. He probably got the news that Hermosavito was in the hospital and came directly here to do exactly this.
Okay, so he needs a timeout. Like,
he
whoa.
Needs a timeout, yeah.
If we can make the whatever item that was the you bolus? Were talking about.
Bolus.
Yes.
Bolus.
If we can make one, I can use... I have two orbs that have like a hydraulic kind of magnetic pull to it, so it'd be very strong. And if I can get it... I know I can hit him with it, but I'm saying if I can get it to wrap the right way, then I can force him to keep his arms down.
Great. I think that that's a good plan.
Okay, let's get on that plan quick. I can hold him, pulled him back so quick. Thanks.
So while that is going on, there's some brief discussion, and he's just trying to pull himself off of the thing. And he hears you talking and disrespecting him.
Uh-oh.
And he closes his fist. And Sokotoa, you feel a enormous fist of air slam into your mouth. Take a powerful blow.
That would be a 9. Is that a straight roll?
It's a roll plus conditions marked.
That is a 12.
You are going to choose one from the 10 plus list. Or two from the 7 to 9 list.
So I'm going to choose you lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way. So
interesting.
What I'm trying to make this object.
Okay.
Because I just got hit, I now drop basically a whole shitload of orbs.
Okay.
Right. So things are dropping. Some of them are just falling to the ground and just denting the ground because they're heavy or whatever.
Yeah.
But the real issue is I drop a Newton's first, which it causes like sticky goo to basically explode at our feet. Now we're all stuck here.
I'm going to raise the stakes on that.
Okay.
You've managed to kind of get to your stuff and you're starting to mess with it and move things. And one of them does drop and falls, and that sticky solution is on the ground. And then the bolas that you've been working on that rotate and spin around each other also fall. And they land right next to the sticky substance, which is at your feet. And it's spinning, and it starts to hit, like, get little sparks off the ground. And it occurs to you that that sticky substance could ignite. The sticky substance lights up, and there are just flames that are burning essentially right below your team.
Now would be a great time for sprinklers.
Why did I drink that snow?
Now would be a great time for sprinklers. I'm assuming unleashing powers.
Yeah,
not
go ahead
defending.
And unleash your powers for now.
10.
Done. The sprinklers turn on. and like pretty much take care of that fire. That looks like it was going to be much worse than it is. Puck, what have you been doing?
I've been walking towards him.
Okay. So we get a couple of panels of just like flame kind of bursting up behind you, which, like, you know, the flame was kind of taken care of, and then water coming down. And where are you getting to?
I want to go just sit down next to him.
Okay. Like sitting like against the wall next to him.
Yeah. Like he's pressed up against the wall because he got thrown there.
Yeah.
But I didn't get thrown and I didn't fall over, and I'm just going to go over and sit down next to him. Kind of like legs straight out against from the wall.
So he kind of like puts his eyes down towards you as best as he can and starts just sort of moving and like testing against the restraints. And he says, I suggest you tell her to let go, because otherwise I'm going to have to kill her.
That's not cool. You should relax, man.
Don't tell me to relax. And you can see there's just like veins showing up in his neck. He's now straining with everything he has. And Penance, you can feel that strain hard. He's going to overpower you, and soon.
I'll use my last of my burn to just put up a shield in front of us, just to make sure that I have backup.
Cool. Are you putting it so that the miscreants are also behind the shield?
Yeah.
Okay. Puckett cannot be behind that shield, though.
No.
No.
Yeah.
But he stood up to the last one. I think he's okay.
That's true. So that wavy green shield line appears.
Mm-hmm. So he's just going to like kind of turn around and look at Windshear and be like, look, this isn't how heroes act. Like, if you like, we these people, and he gestures at the people in the cells. He says, they attacked the Gala, and we fought them, and we chose not to kill them because that's not what heroes do. So if you have a problem with them being alive, then you have a problem with us, and we can talk that out.
Chose not to kill them, like you're Centurion coming in and protecting everybody. You're a damn idiot, kid. And he's trying to shift your labels.
Okay.
He's trying to lower your savior and raise your mundane.
I'm gonna reject that. That's definitely not true.
Go ahead and roll.
10. When I reject someone's influence. Oh, when I'm a clear condition, and I'm going to. He doesn't have. Oh, I'm going to cancel his influence and take +1 against him.
Cool.
There's a moment where Puck looks really angry because like he's been insulted and he doesn't like being told he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But he takes a moment. He you can't see it because he's got a mask on, but he closes his eyes. He takes a breath and just sort of says, look, Windshear, you don't know me. And I feel like I've been telling a lot of people this recently, but I've seen things you wouldn't believe. I've been to hell and I've come back alive, and we all just need to calm down. Everything will be okay. And Puck just like sort of like pulls all of the power that he's collected around him. And like, in the same way that like the reality felt like it was warping a little bit when he was gathering the power, he does that and it sort of like cuts through the air in front of where Windshear is, and it breaks off the Penance's power and releases Windshear, so he can kind of like slump against the wall, but he's free.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll Podcast Network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Alina Mars is played by Jessica Benini, who can be found on Twitter at herlockholmes. Puck is played by me, James Malloy. and I can be found on Twitter at @EndTheMeltdowns. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.